So our first scripture passage, Old Testament, from Deuteronomy chapter 8, which will be the main text that we'll look at just for a few moments this morning. Beginning at verse 1 through the end of the chapter, verse number 20. Here's what the Lord says to Israel as they left the land of Egypt. They had wandered for 40 years. They were just about to enter the promised land. Here's what the Lord said through Moses. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then, in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God, by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Also, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And beginning reading at verse number 12 to verse number 22, one of Paul's great sayings on thanksgiving. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 22. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to anyone, to one another, and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May God write his words upon our hearts today. Turn back with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 8, and have that out in front of you just for a few moments this morning. Here, Moses, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says to the Israelites and says to us, the people of God, remember the Lord your God. Remember God. And that is what our national Thanksgiving Day is all about. It's on this special occasion that we are pausing. We remember what we are doing, but yet we pause from that. We remember what we have done from where we have come, but yet we pause from all that. We pause and ponder what God has and is and will do for us as individuals, as couples, as families, as a congregation, as a nation. We pause to remember. We remember that the Lord has done great things for us, and so we give thanks. We offer up holy and religious thanksgiving. Not merely thanks for the temporal blessings that we have, but especially for those eternal spiritual blessings which cannot fade and moth and rust cannot destroy. And that's what Israel had done. And that's what they were going to do as they were then entering the land of promise. They had wandered for 40 years, 40 hard years of testing. You see, there are several times the Lord said that he was testing them to see what was in their hearts, if they would obey the Lord their God. And so they had wandered for 40 years. And as they prepare themselves to go in and to possess the land, as verse 1 says, the land that God had promised to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. Notice the Lord calls them to remember, verse 2 and verse 18. Remember. And again, he says to them to do that in a negative way by saying, not forget. Do not forget, verses 11 and 14 and 19. What were the Israelites to remember as they were entering the promised land? What are we to remember? In a word, all that God had done for them. Remember the Lord your God, all that he has done for you as you now enter into a new phase of your life together. Recall what he's done for you in the past, even as you are here in the present and going on into the future. Notice first that they are to remember the Lord's redemption. What were they to remember in particular? The Lord's redemption. Verse 14 tells us and tells them to recall and to remember, to give thanks to the fact that God, the Lord, has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, citing there for them the very beginning of the Ten Commandments. The heart of their religion, the heart of their faith, the heart of their life was to remember the Lord, their God, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, by an outstretched hand and a mighty arm. Remember your redemption. Remember your salvation. Remember your liberation from that harsh taskmaster, Pharaoh, and all of his taskmasters over you. Remember from whence you have come. Remember your past. Remember who you have become. Secondly, notice your the heart, really, of the passage is to remember the providence of God. Not merely the Lord's redemption, as if it's merely redemption, but secondly, the Lord's providence, his care for them, his concern, his provision for them. God had brought them out with that outstretched arm and mighty hand. He had liberated them, and then that very same hand that had brought them out was now lavishing upon them water from a rock, manna from heaven. Notice that they are to remember the Lord's providence, and here the writer Moses recounts for them the Lord's providence. What has the Lord done for us? What has he done in particular in these 40 harsh years? Remember the past 40 years, he says in verses 2 and 15, it was the Lord your God who has led you through the great and terrifying wilderness. The Lord has led you. In those 40 years, they were to remember that it was the Lord who had led them through the time of testing, as verse 15 says, a time of fiery serpents and scorpions. In those years, they were to remember that it was the Lord their God who had let them both hunger and who had fed them with manna that their fathers did not know. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. The Lord caused lack, the Lord caused plenty. He did that that they would know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of Almighty God. In those years, they were to remember and recall the path the Lord Himself had led them through a thirsty ground where there was no water, that He had made water to come out of a flinty rock. In those years, they were to recall that their very clothing did not wear out, their feet did not swell. God preserved them. And now as they were going into a land that He had sworn to their fathers, as the very beginning says, they were to experience anew the refreshing providence of the Lord their God, His grace poured out upon them, and the common blessings of a land of brooks of water, fountains and springs, noted. Valleys and hills, wheat and barley, vines, figs, pomegranates, olives and honey. They would eat and lack nothing. They would have stones that would be turned into iron. They would have hills that could be turned into weapons of and instruments also for cultivation. You shall eat to the full. You shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that He has given you. Remember that it's the Lord who gives all this. And that's why you see there in verse 11 that it's because of their enjoyment of the lavishness of God's goodness in the food that goes into their mouths, in the works of their hands, that they were not to forget the Lord as well. Why would they forget? They had so much. How could they ever forget that it was God Himself who had given them all the blessings that they have? How do we ever forget? How do we forget and fail to remember every single breath that we breathe, every single drop of water that hits our tongue, every single crumb that goes down upon our palate, every single blessing that we have comes from God Himself. And so He calls upon them as well not to forget the Lord your God, verse 11. You see, they would become very prosperous. They had just left 400 years of slavery where they had to make the same amount of bricks without straw. Find it yourselves. They were slaves. They were beaten down. They had literally nothing. All they had coming out of the land of Egypt was given to them. They plundered the Egyptians as God moved their hearts to give the Israelites all their jewelry, all their food, all their provisions. Nothing came for themselves. They were about to go from the pit to the palace. They were going to leave what we might say the outhouse or the penthouse. They had nothing. Now they would have everything. They hungered and they thirsted. Now they would never see lack. They were beaten upon their backs with whips. But yet for 40 years, their feet never swelled. And so Moses says, lest, verse 12, lest, when you enter this land, you have so much, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord, your God. What does Moses mean by that your heart may be lifted up? He's not saying lifted up in thanks and praise. He's meaning that they would arrogantly in their prosperity be tempted to think that all they had came from their very own hands. Beware, he says, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have got me this wealth. Verse 17. It's one of the easiest ways the devil tempts us, isn't it? Even those of us with the least have more than 90% of the world. Those of us with the least literally eat like Roman Caesars these days. The devil uses affluence and overabundance and prosperity and the blessings that we have from God, but yet the devil uses them as temptations from his very own devious schemes, doesn't he? And so in their enjoyment of God's providence, they were to remember the Lord, their God. For it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Notice that. It's not just that He sent down manna from heaven, water out of a rock. There were rocks with iron, hills with copper. It's not just that God sent down riches upon them out of nothing. Notice that He gave them the hands and the strength to create the wealth. It's not just the wealth itself, the means of production that God Himself blesses. Remember the Lord your God, He says to those Israelites there in the wilderness, contemplating this land flowing with milk and honey. Forefathers were to give thanks by remembering the Lord their God for all that He had done for them. How much more so us for all that Jesus Christ has done for us. They experienced the Exodus from Egypt. And we think that's the high point of redemption. That's the greatest thing that would ever have been experienced by any of God's people. But yet we have been freed. We've gone through an Exodus even greater. Liberated from our sins. Liberated from the slavery of the world. The slavery of the law. The slavery of the devil. They have the Exodus. We have even greater, Paul says, for example, in Colossians 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of our sins. They experienced the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, olives, pomegranates, honey. Their feet never swelled. They never had lack. They saw bread coming down out of heaven, water from rocks. They had everything they ever needed. But those blessings, that land itself, all that it was just a mere picture of a greater land to come. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham, the father who first received the promise of a land, that he was merely looking forward to a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. They had the promised land. And we think again, they had everything, but yet that was just merely a foretaste of something even greater. A city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, an eternal, everlasting city. And so they desired a better country, Hebrews 11 says, a heavenly one. They were to remember God and to give thanks to God for His blessings. How much more so we? They experienced the blessings of a land flowing with milk and honey, but yet those were just mere crumbs of grace that was to lead them to heaven. Paul tells us we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. They had it all, but that was just for the time in which they lived. That was enough, but yet that was just a mere crumb of the grace that we have in Christ. What they had and all the land flowing with milk and honey was just a drop of milk. Just a touch of honey. We have it all. And so today, as we come to give thanks, we remember the Lord our God. Remember that everything that you have, temporal, eternal, spiritual, heavenly, earthly, comes from His gracious hand extended to you. Remember the Lord your God, Jesus Christ Church. From where you've come, from what He saved you. Recall the Lord your God, remember Him, thank Him, praise Him for His goodness that's set out before you today. So lavishly, so freely, it all comes from Him. And so we can sing and praise Him as we do so often. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, all blessings. Flowing forth lavishly, abundantly, superabundantly from our lavish Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.